Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindbergh.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
He is an experienced city manager. He's been a city manager for a number of years, and we really feel like that's what we need right now. We need some stability.
That's why Ashland Commissioner Amanda Clark says Gary Huff was hired as the new city manager.
Olive's Hill new mayor is ready to roll up his sleeves and get to work.
Kentucky's education commissioner is coming to Moorhead for a town hall meeting.
In sports, the Kentucky basketball team will face UCLA tonight in the Sweet 16.
But Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy this evening with lows around 54 degrees. We'll have the complete forecast after this news.
State Education Commissioner Stephen Pruitt will visit Moorhead next month as a part of his series of town halls that will update Kentuckians about a new accountability system that's been in the works since last year. Pruitt will be at Rowland County Senior High School on April 17th from 6:30 until 8 p.m. He first toured the state last year in order to gather ideas from the public that officials could implement as they began work on the plan. According to Pruitt, the town halls give him the chance to hear what people in different parts of the states think.
They have different needs in each area, but they also, they have their own personality. They have their own priorities, and I'm making a decision for the state. So if I were to try to make it just based on one or two areas, I don't believe I'd be a very good commissioner. I've got to be able to hear all those different perspectives and priorities from around the state to make sure that each child has that opportunity that they need to have that quality education.
Pruitt's already held town halls in Independence and Louisville. In addition to Moorhead, next month the State Education Commissioner will make stops in Paducah, London, Elizabethtown, Glasgow, Prestonsburg, and Henderson.
The Carter Caves State Resort Park will be shutting down its 9-hole golf course on April 2nd. Kentucky State Parks have decided to close the course because of declining use and the cost of maintenance. Parks Department spokesman Gil Lawson says officials will be considering alternative uses for that part of the park.
We would be looking for something that would be attractive to guests at the park, whether they're there for the day or overnight visitors, something they would enjoy doing and might attract people to the park. So that's the type of thing we're interested in doing.
In addition to Carter Caves, the State Parks Department plans to close the 9-hole course at Kincaid Lake State Park at the end of October.
Amtrak has started a $500,000 project to upgrade Maysville's train station. City Manager Matt Wallingford says most of the effort will involve bringing several aspects of the facility into compliance with the federal Americans with Disabilities Act. The city, meanwhile, is considering refurbishing the building's outside and possibly redoing its roof. According to Wallingford, the work on the 99-year-old depot is much needed.
Very badly. It was in bad shape. And it is a very old building. And it deserves to be fixed up and put back where it should be. And luckily, we're going to be able to do that.
Maysville also plans to spend an $860,000 federal grant to make some improvements around its train station. Those upgrades will include new sidewalks, streetscaping, and signage.
As he takes over as Olive Hill's mayor, Jerry Callahan says there's a lot of work to do. Callahan wants more businesses and residents to move into the city, but says that won't happen until officials fix the chronic problem of downtown flooding, which takes place when heavy rains force Tygart's Creek over its banks.
The creek scares businesses located downtown. We're going to solve that. Nobody wants to live there. Not nobody, but, you know, it's a serious issue. It needs to be addressed, which we've tried, but now we're going to try harder.
Callahan says Olive Hill officials are discussing building an overflow spillway to prevent the creek from flooding. He admits the city will need help in funding that project. Callahan was named mayor earlier this week by city council. He'll fill the remaining year and a half left in Kenny Fankel's term. Fankel died suddenly last month.
Ashland has a new city manager. City commissioners last night voted unanimously to hire 64-year-old Gary Huff for the post. He's a native of Fort Gay, West Virginia, and is currently the city manager of Piqua, Ohio. Piqua is located near Dayton along the Great Miami River. Commissioner Matt Perkins says that's one of the reasons Huff got the Ashland job.
Riverfront development was huge for them. In fact, in the interview process, he actually pulled out a pamphlet that described all the things they're getting ready to do. And it was spectacular. It kind of took all of our breaths away.
Perkins says development of Ashland's riverfront is a priority for city commissioners. Huff is a graduate of Marshall University and also worked as a city manager in Virginia and Indiana. He'll be paid $140,000 annually and is expected to begin his new job in about a month. Ashland has been without a permanent manager for just over a year.
The city of Ashland will put out a request for proposals for a mandatory curbside recycling program. City commissioners agreed to move the following a public hearing on the issue last night. Commissioner Amanda Clark says it's important for the panel to get those plans and cost projections as soon as possible.
Really, the purpose of the RFP is to determine what it is going to cost the city of Ashland. We're in our budget process right now, and we need those proposals to say this is what we need to budget for this program. And until we get a organized proposal, we can't even speculate as to that number.
Clark says it'll take the city at least 30 days to draft the request for proposals.
The City of Ashland's 2017 paving program includes nearly $700,000 for improvements to 32 streets. City commissioners last night approved a first reading of legislation authorizing the projects. City engineer Ryan Eastwood says a priority list is made annually, based on a regular schedule and citizen input.
We go out to every street if someone calls in. We also look at a map of years of when we paved it last. So we have an inventory of all the streets in Ashland as to what year they were paved. So we tend to visit the ones we haven't paved in over 20 years and look at them. A lot of them, they might maintain their condition and might have some service life left in them.
Eastwood says the city contracts for the improvements are with Mountain Enterprises.
A drainage pipe on Kentucky 1010 in Wolf County needs to be replaced. The Kentucky Department of Highways plans to close this route on Tuesday, March 28th from 9 a.m. to about 3 p.m. Drivers can use the Mountain Parkway and Kentucky 191 as a detour route, and motorists should plan their trips accordingly. Public Information Officer H.B. Elkin stresses this pipe could cause some serious problems.
If the drainage pipe is blocked, water can't properly drain, and you'll either start having water backing up in the ditch line, which can cause problems with the shoulder of the road. If it gets really soft due to the backed up water, it can collapse under the weight of vehicles. Or if you have water trying to run around the blocked area, it can cause erosion problems elsewhere.
The road will be closed to all traffic between mile markers 5 and 6 south of the Kentucky 191 intersection at Hazel Green.
A $3.7 million road realignment project near Aberdeen is set to begin early next month. According to the Ohio Department of Transportation, the project is on State Route 41 at its intersection with Ohio 763. It'll start April 3rd. ODOT says the road will be widened and horizontal and vertical deficiencies will be corrected. The work is expected to take more than 6 months. Traffic will be detoured to U.S. 52, Ohio 136, and State Route 125. The federal government is paying for 90% of the project's cost.
The Ohio Senate has approved a nearly $8 billion transportation budget that includes $48 million for public transit and allows local governments to raise additional revenues for infrastructure improvements. Republican Frank LaRose chairs the Transportation Committee.
Beyond the state network, as we all know, our counties, our cities, our villages, and our townships maintain crucial assets that are there to maintain our transportation throughout the state. And we wanted to make sure that we prioritized investment in local roads and bridges as well. This bill includes a $5 increase in the permissive fee that our local counties can charge for that investment.
However, LaRose says those fee increases would have to be approved by local voters. He says the bill puts tens of thousands of people to work on projects that upgrade the transportation network and make it safer.
Kentucky officials say they've returned more than $302 million in refunds to taxpayers so far this year. The story from KNN's Haley Hansen.
The Kentucky Department of Revenue says they've received more than 1.1 million tax returns, with more than 1 million of those having been processed. Nearly 98% of those returns were filed electronically. This year, the Department of Revenue required some taxpayers to take an online quiz before filing their taxes in an effort to verify taxpayers' identities and to combat scams. The deadline to file your state tax returns is April 18th. I'm Haley Hansen.
A revised bill that would repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act is set for a vote in the House this afternoon, and two Kentucky congressmen are on opposite sides of the fence. Bowling Green Republican Brett Guthrie says the current expanded Medicaid program is financially unsustainable, and the GOP's alternative would put the budget back on track.
People keep talking about a rushed process. Over a year ago, we put together a Medicaid task force, met with groups of people, met with governors. We took a lot of information and put together a plan that addresses the needs of Medicaid. Medicaid is growing. It'll be over a $1 trillion program within 10 years if we don't deal with it. It's going to implode. So we actually worked to put it on a sustainable budget.
Guthrie was speaking on the House floor today. His appeal did not sway fellow Kentuckian John Yarmuth. The Louisville Democrat calls the Republican health care bill Robin Hood in reverse.
24 million hardworking Americans will be left without health care coverage by 2026 if we pass this bill. Premiums will rise 15% to 20% next year. People will pay thousands of dollars more in deductibles and out-of-pocket costs. But older Americans will be priced out of the market by an age tax. I thought for sure it was dead on arrival, that there was no way my Republican colleagues would walk this plank. But here they are, and they are trying to take millions of American families with them.
The final bill repeals a provision of Obamacare that requires health care insurance plans to offer coverage of maternity services, prescription drugs, and mental health, among others. The legislation would also allow insurers to charge higher premiums to those whose coverage has lapsed. It would issue tax credits based mainly on age for individuals to purchase health insurance.
The city of Ironton, Ohio, is taking steps to help fund its fire department. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has more.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, members of the Ironton City Council have voted to raise the fire fee for residents and businesses in order to avoid laying off 3 firefighters. The fee for residents will jump from $4.75 to $6.90. Businesses in Ironton will see their rates go from $12 to $4.15. Mayor Katrina Keith says she is happy the council worked together to find a way to keep the firefighters on duty, but says she still remains concerned that the city's general fund account is still $15,000 in the hole. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Tilden Johnson.
A woman accused of stealing funds from an Augusta church is pleading guilty in Brackett County Circuit Court. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, Dorothy Barth of Butler was arrested in October of 2016 on 3 counts of theft by unlawful taking. She's accused of taking over $56,000 from 3 different funds while she worked as the church's treasurer between September 2015 and July 2016. On March 16th, she entered a guilty plea to all 3 counts. Barth is currently out of jail on a $10,000 surety bond, awaiting sentence on May 18th.
Several concertgoers were turned away from the Thomas Rhett Show last week in Huntington because their tickets were fake. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to WSAZ, 42-year-old John Holstein of South Point, Ohio, was arrested and charged with selling counterfeit tickets. Police say Holstein sold the tickets for $60 apiece and had sold around 50 tickets. But victims say this wasn't the first time they bought tickets from Holstein. According to victims, Holstein identified himself as a district promoter for Live Nation, an authentic company associated with Ticketmaster. Veronica Hordube, marketing director for the Big Sandy Superstore Arena, says the venue has no choice but to turn fans with fake tickets away. The only valid places to purchase a ticket are in person at the box office, through the arena's website, and on Ticketmaster.com. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Turning to take a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening with more clouds on the way overnight, lows of 54 degrees. For Saturday, partly cloudy in the morning with more clouds later in the day, a 20% chance of rain showers, highs of 74. For Saturday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then cloudy with an 80% chance of rain after midnight, lows around 55 degrees. On Sunday, periods of rain and thunder possible, highs of 66 degrees. And the chance of rain is at 80%. And finally on Monday, morning fog, then mostly cloudy in the afternoon. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. Highs will be around 72 degrees. It is currently 73 degrees in Ashland, 72 degrees in Flemingsburg, and it is 75 degrees in Inez, Lexington, Winchester, and right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
The time is 4:45. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University Professor John Modaff. He wonders if we'll ever have the stomach to cut any kind of federal spending.
Our representatives do now, as they have for years, spend regardless of consequences. This happens even though, as our last president made clear way back in 2009,
we're out of money now.
The best they can do when questioned about out-of-control spending is to say that the annual deficit does shrink a bit every now and then. But that does not address the national debt, which, between the start and the end of this sentence, will have grown by millions of dollars. By 2020, the cost of just servicing the interest on the debt will eat up $1 trillion. Why is this allowed to persist? Where are the adults? The Gordian knot of reducing federal spending is complicated by two naive chains of logic, which, while indicative of compassion on the surface, reveal a childish disregard for facts. First, people who exhibit horror when discussions of cutting anything federally funded are quick to point to waste. If D.C. burns through, by its own estimations, about $250 billion each year in unchecked waste, why should above-board spending be cut? Cut the NEA and the NEH? Cut UN funding? Don't you know we've got waste? Trouble is, a serious attack on waste is the political equivalent of rebuilding a sewer system. Absolutely necessary, but unseen, so unappreciated, and thus left undone. Another objection to any federal funding cuts is the how-could-you argument based on feel-good moral outrage. It goes like this. Cut the NEA? How could you? You must hate art and children. Artists and their audiences would have to start finding local ways to pay. Cut the NEH? What will happen to the little people in flyover country? What will happen to the poor, struggling Kennedy Center? Tourism in Bosco Bell, Wisconsin? Trips to pet the diatomaceous earth out west? Cut is a dirty word to anyone who feels that there's always a good reason to spend for good causes, regardless of their connection to the few true proscribed duties of the federal government. The reason the federal hole keeps getting bigger is not only that record amounts of money are being poured into it. The reason the hole keeps getting bigger is that our representatives believe we'd rather spend ourselves into oblivion and keep them in office. One easy yet ultimately fatal way to feel better about being broke is to just keep spending. But ask yourself, do I love my children? For if you do, would you take a 16-ton weight of debt and rest it on their chests while they are sleeping? I didn't think so.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. Nathan Gutierrez has been keeping an eye on your sports. He's coming up next.
The Cats and the Bruins meet again tonight. Good afternoon. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. With the berth in the NCAA basketball tournament's Elite Eight on the line, Kentucky faces UCLA tonight in South Regional action in Memphis. As two interesting side notes to tonight's contest, UK's John Calipari has returned to the city where he built his name as one of the nation's top coaches, which suffered some tarnish when Memphis was placed on probation right after he left. But according to Calipari, there's another more important factor that makes the matchup between the Cats and the Bruins must-see TV.
This is about two unbelievably talented teams. That's what this is. And people are going to watch this game, not because I'm coaching and not because I came back to Memphis and not because Steve's coaching. They're going to watch it because this is a talented two teams, both teams. And it should be a lot of fun.
Tonight's game between UK and UCLA tips off at 9:39. The Bruins beat the Cats 97-92 on December 3rd at Rupp Arena. In other notable matchups in tonight's Sweet 16, before the Wildcats get started, another contest in the South Regional down in Memphis will include North Carolina against Butler at 7:09. For the East Regional in New York, South Carolina battles Baylor at 7:29, and Wisconsin faces Florida at 9:59. The NCAA fires back at Louisville coach Rick Pitino's response to the notice of allegations involving the Minardi Hall sex scandal, Will Clark reports.
The NCAA used 118 pages to respond to U of L's response to the notice of allegations, but focused mainly on the response of Rick Pitino. The filing says Pitino's claim that he erroneously trusted Andre McGee is not enough to rebut responsibility for years of violations committed by McGee. The report says Pitino was not actively looking for red flags or asking pointed questions of McGee or the staff, what the NCAA called basic elements of a head coach's obligation to monitor. The NCAA continuing to say Pitino was charged with a severe breach of conduct, a level one violation. I'm Will Clark.
The Morehead State baseball team opened up a weekend OVC home series against 13-9 Eastern Kentucky earlier this afternoon. Currently down at Allen Field, MSU leads EKU 6-4 at the top of the fifth inning. The Eagles will battle the Colonels at home again tomorrow at 2 before wrapping up the series on Sunday at 1. The Morehead State softball team is getting OVC play underway this afternoon with a doubleheader at Austin Peay. Winners of 9 straight, Coach David Williams' Eagles started the day with a 16-7 overall record.
I think we're going to be energetic. We're expecting some solid defense and hopefully really solid offensive performances. So I think we're prepared, and I think our players are primed and ready to go.
Currently down in Clarksville, the Eagles just defeated the Governors 1-0 in the first contest. The two will meet again today at 5. The MSU softball team is also slated for another OVC twin bill at Murray State on Sunday. Center fielder Billy Hamilton is looking for better things from the Cincinnati Reds this year. With the Reds playing 500 ball over the second half of 2016, the speedy Hamilton is optimistic they can build on that solid finish.
You know, like last year, we didn't get off to a good start, but we finished up pretty strong. And I feel like the point we're at right now, we had the same team kind of going into the end of the season last year. So I feel like we're going to be really good, and we're going to have a bunch of young guys that's going to be ready to go.
Hamilton returned to the Reds yesterday after being out since Saturday because of an inflamed Achilles tendon. He went 0-3 in the Reds' 4-2 loss to the White Sox. Cincinnati opens the 2017 campaign at home on April 3rd against Philadelphia. With his team beginning spring practices next Tuesday, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure says one of the main jobs to get done will be to find a new starting quarterback. Record-setting signal caller Austin Gayhafer graduates in May, and Tenure needs to find his replacement.
We've got a couple guys that we're really leaning on to take over this position at quarterback, and so when we start to design and develop our playbook, it's going to be based on their strengths and their tools. And I think that we can win a lot of games with the guys we got, so I'm excited about that.
Senior Jack Sheary, sophomore Lawson Page, and redshirt freshman Ethan Jeffers are all contenders to be MSU's new number one quarterback. The Cincinnati Bengals have re-signed a key veteran. Unrestricted free agent running back Cedric Pierman has inked a one-year contract. A 2015 Pro Bowl pick as a special teams performer, Pierman will be entering his eighth season with the Bengals.
I'm at the point in my career now where guys are looking up to me, I think, and I'm just going to try to, you know, lead by example and be able to share whatever knowledge with younger guys that I can, and hopefully I can, you know, make the guys around me better football players and better men as well.
Pierman was limited to just 6 games last season because of a broken arm. As a running back, he carried the ball 70 times during his career for 349 yards. And finally, for today in sports, taking a look at some off-season NFL notes, the Indianapolis Colts released defensive tackle Arthur Jones. The Colts will save $5 million under the salary cap with the move. The Panthers have signed veteran running back Jonathan Stewart to a one-year contract extension, keeping him with the team through the 2018 season. And the Washington Redskins have signed former Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Brian Quick. That will conclude your sports report. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle Baseball will host Eastern Kentucky this weekend, Saturday at 2 p.m. and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mixed after a choppy session, which saw the House of Representatives actually pulling a vote for a key health care bill. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 59.86 after being down more than 100 earlier, and the blue chip average finished at 20,596.72. The S&P 500 was down 1.98 at 2343.98, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 11.04 at 5828.74. Materials were among your worst performers today, while interestingly, the healthcare sector turned positive following the news of the cancellation on the vote in Washington. And the NASDAQ, of course, continued to outperform, and the major indices, though, all three were down for the week. And the vote, which was originally scheduled for yesterday, was pulled from the floor shortly ahead of the close of trading today. And House Speaker Paul Ryan is scheduled to hold a news conference at 4 p.m., which is actually going on right now. Treasury bond prices rose, so interest rates were down today. The 10-year note yield dipped below 2.4%, and, of course, it was just over 2.6% when the Federal Reserve raised interest rates earlier this month. Stocks suffered their worst day of the year earlier this week because of the concerns surrounding the health care vote. And, of course, many analysts and market watchers are hoping that the Trump agenda of lower taxes and also lower or regulatory reform, they are hoping that those things might come more into the forefront. In economic news, durable goods orders rose 1.7% in February, and this was above the expected increase of 1.2%. The IHS market manufacturing PMI hit a five-month low of 53.4. The dollar traded marginally lower against a basket of currencies, with the euro near $1.08. Among Dow Jones industrial stocks today, the best performers were Nike and American Express. The worst performers were Goldman Sachs and DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Micron Technology and Centene. And the worst performers were Martin Marietta and Fluor Corporation. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 91 cents at 121.85, CSX up 21 cents at 46.32, AEP up 34 cents at 67.79, AK Steel down 34 cents at 7.16, Marathon Petroleum down 43 cents at 48.87, and Community Trust Bank was down 15 cents to finish at 44.30. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And taking a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening with more clouds on the way overnight, lows of 54 degrees. For Saturday, partly cloudy in the morning with more clouds later in the day, a 20% chance of rain showers tomorrow, highs around 74 degrees. For Saturday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then cloudy with an 80% chance of rain after midnight, lows around 55 degrees. For Sunday, periods of rain and thunder possible, highs of 66. The chance of rain on Sunday is at 80%. For Monday, expect morning fog, then mostly cloudy skies in the afternoon. A stray shower or a thunderstorm is possible. Highs will be around 72 degrees. And on Monday night, mostly cloudy with showers and a few thunderstorms. Lows of 56, and the chance of rain is at 60%. For Tuesday, cloudy with occasional rain showers. Chance of rain, 60%. It is currently 75 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Stan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Tilden Johnson. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark and Haley Hansen. And with our commentary this afternoon, MSU professor John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg from Morehead State Public Radio News. All things considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.